Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. Hope you're having a good one wherever you are, and I hope you're staying relatively cool because it's a hot one in New York City today, sitting right around 88 degrees as we go live. Probably going to see my curtain kind of billowing at some point today because, windows open. It's a hot one. Hope you're all staying safe wherever you are. Although I did see, somebody on my feed, I believe it was Brent there in the Minneapolis area, was complaining about rain. How dare you, sir? How dare you complain about the rain? Speaking of Brent, make sure you check out the Cheesehead TV store. You'll find a link in the description of the YouTube video. If you're so inclined, we got a bunch of new merch up. Brent killing it with some new designs. Make sure you check those out. Hello to everybody in the comments. Already chopping it up. Good to see everybody. Filing in order. In really nice terms, everyone. Hello, good to see you. Let me give a shout out to my good friends over at Ticket King, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Ticket King, based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, on our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Do it, folks. You don't want to do any of this nonsense with Ticketmaster or StubHub or SeatGeek. Don't use those national people. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. When you're looking for Packers tickets, use Ticket King. I did want to give Packers running back Ben Siermans a shout-out today for no other reason than it's interesting to see how the Packers backfield is really going to have a different look this year when you consider the addition of Josh Jacobs, obviously in free agency. A pretty significant pickup, which, came hard upon or right before the release of Aaron Jones, which was very dramatic this offseason. And then the drafting of a young, promising running back with a ton of upside in Marshawn Lloyd. And I will say also a bit of a reclamation project with A.J. Dillon. If there is a guy in the NFL who can unlock the potential in AJ, it's probably the guy who's already done it. Don't ever forget, Siermans was your running backs coach when Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon became only the second running back pair in the history of the Green Bay Packers, a team that's been around for over 100 years, to go over 1200 yards from scrimmage in a single season. Two backs each did it. It's only ever happened one other time. So, if there's a way to get AJ on track, so to speak, I tend to think Siermans is the man. And you look at the fact that he's been in Green Bay since 2016, was a member of Mike McCarthy's staff, and Matt LaFleur, in his wisdom, kept him on when Matt was hired in 2019. And it's interesting that Siermans is the only offensive coach left from Matt's original offensive staff, right? And I do think he's a tad underappreciated by the public, given how, no matter who's in there, down in and down out, game in and game out, season in or season out, whether it was the pairing of, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, whether it was Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and I suspect now this kind of triple-headed monster we're about to unleash on the league in 2024. And who knows, maybe Wilson gets in the mix at some point. I just think it's telling that you never really worry about the running back spot in Green Bay. I think more often than not, those guys are not only going to, be productive, but they're going to do the right thing when it comes to technique, pass protection. More often than not, nobody's perfect, but more often than not, stepping into the right gaps to take on blitzing linebackers and shore up the pocket for the quarterback to step up and escape, things of that nature. I mean, you just talk about a position that has been, at some points, dynamic in Siermans' kind of tenure here since 2016, but more often than not, they're just dependable. And they seem to, somewhat because of the modern game, it's not as running back centric, at least, running the football as it probably was in the 80s and 90s, but I mean, their involvement in the passing game, their ability in the passing game. I mean, go back and watch some of that stuff from 2020 in particular, when they were utilizing Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams downfield, almost like receivers. I mean, running, you know, nine routes, 30 yards downfield. And I just think, you know, there's something to be said for the way the running back position has been extremely well coached in Green Bay for any number of years, yet seemingly, you know, kind of somewhat, I'm not going to say taken advantage of, or I just think he's underrated as a coach. You know, the fact that we've seen other guys go on and get positions elsewhere, end up, you know, look no further than here in New York. Nathaniel Hackett's out here calling plays and looking completely inept doing it. And Ben Siemens can't, you know, get kicked up the ladder and or a job someplace else doing something a little bit more. And I don't know. Who knows? I don't know Ben at all. Maybe he is happy where he is and is not really kind of pining for that kind of thing. But the man has been the pillar of consistency. And I think we should, as Packers fans, really appreciate the work he's done, not only in his tenure so far, but what I expect he's probably about to do with a whole kind of new ball of clay, so to speak, in these new backs that he gets to work with. So, you know, look, I know a lot of content creators out there are creating listicles this time of year, and it's really easy to do the top five this and most underrated that. So consider this my most underrated, probably the most underrated member of the Green Bay Packers staff is Ben Siemens. There, that's my contribution to the offseason discourse. I hope you appreciate it. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. We got Joey starting us off. What's up, Joey? Aaron, we need that Big Lebowski stream. All jokes aside, hope you're having a great day, my guy. Go Pack, go. Big Lebowski will happen. Probably, I want to say around July 4th. Around, maybe not on July 4th, but around that time feels like the right time. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Think FIFA's demand for all grass will push the NFL to mandate grass fields? No. I mean, I'd love it. I think they should, but no. I mean, the owners will drag their feet as much as possible. Perhaps that becomes a talking point in the next collective bargaining agreement negotiations. I know David Bakhtiari would like to kind of be at the forefront of that conversation. But yeah, it's not going to happen unless the players really galvanize around that idea and then push for that to happen as one of their kind of tokens to kind of barter with the ownership. You know, ownership's not going to do it on their own. That is for damn sure. But we'll see. We've got a ways to wait. I've got like, 5 years before we get more negotiations in that regard. Oh, Kenneth, you're right. Good call. Steno was on the original staff. One of two. There you go. We got that one. What else we got here? Brandy. This is not the days of Ty Montgomery as a running back. Nope. I like it. Yeah, I saw Mr. Mikey Riggs. I saw it. I try to limit the Euro talk here because I know most of the audience is probably not into the tournament, but man, I mean, the Portugal game just ended and that was fine. It got a lot more interesting as the match went on, but man, that Georgia-Turkey game from earlier this afternoon, that is so far the best match of the tournament, and it's not even close. Joe, speaking of, excellent question. Any more soccer games in Lambeau's future? I would suspect at some point it'll happen. Not in the immediate future. I know Mark Murphy has talked a couple of times about wanting to make it happen again. I don't know if they're in active kind of negotiations to bring anything like that in anytime soon in the next couple of years. But I know that is something they want to do again. And I will forever kick myself that I wasn't there couple years ago for the match that they had. It looked amazing. I literally got into town the next day, which will forever piss me off. But yeah, that I think it's something they want to do, you know, and I know Mark's talked about it. So I would suspect eventually it'll happen. You know, it was very, very well received locally, well received by the franchise. And yeah, I think the players on the Packers, especially A.J. Dillon, really enjoyed it until that one moment. But, you know. Joey, what's up, man? Will Mark have any role in Green Bay after he retires? No, not really. I mean, I think he will probably be somewhat of an honorary member on the board, but much like Harlan, Bob Harlan has been, but officially no. But I'm sure he will, given that he's what purchased that golf course and you know, really put down roots in the area. I think, you know, you'll see him around. I would suspect. JP asks, whatever happened to Wisconsin versus Northwestern at Lambeau this fall? I don't know if it's happening this fall, but I know it's still in discussions. And I know people have talked about wanting to make it happen like sooner rather than later. And I do think, if I remember right, somebody can correct me here, but I do think either Rich Rydman or somebody with the Green Bay Press Gazette just did an article about it. I remember seeing a headline about it a couple weeks ago. So you might want to check that out. But I know they really want to make that happen. At some point. Oh, here we go. Now we need my nerd stream. Nags, how is the Alkalite? Any good? Ooh, Jonathan, you're looking to touch the third rail on the old internet when you're talking about Star Wars. I really enjoy the storytelling. I'm not a huge fan of some of the production value. I think they have really kind of made an assembly line looking type of Star Wars show that they can just produce over and over again. It looks a lot like the Ahsoka show, as far as the production value goes, which as someone who grew up with Star Wars being such an event and the films and the way they looked, that's a bit disappointing to me. But I absolutely love the storytelling. I love where it's headed. I think it's really super intriguing. I love that it's got a kind of a thriller mystery vibe, kind of a whodunit. That part of it I love. And I'm really engrossed in the characters. But yeah, I just think the production value is disappointing, especially when you've seen what they can do with a show like Andor. Like, why are you settling for this? You know, that's the stuff that kind of drives me nuts. But overall, I like it. Rich says Mandalorian is great. First season of Mandalorian was great. I'll agree with that. Mr. Englewood, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Love seeing you on Adam Rank Show. Good content. Well, thank you very much. Adam and I are hoping to do it more than once a year because I was on it last year as well. And then he reached out, obviously when I was on vacation, but I'd love to do a little bit more with Adam. I think he is a very good content creator, as you're intimating here. I think he's an amazing super fan for the Bears. It's always fun to tease him about how the Packers own them. And I think he's astute when it comes to pushing buttons, which he does very well when it comes to Packers fans. William asks, who are you looking forward to watching at training camp? It's an interesting question. The battles I've talked about, I'm certainly going to be eyeing up the offensive line and then the corner two position. I'm really fascinated to see how Carrington Valentine looks a year into the league, right? Got a whole season of, a lot of kind of banked reps, as I like to say. And like vying for a job, you know, nothing's going to be handed to Eric Stokes. I think Stokes has been running with the ones quite a bit in the offseason, but I think Valentine will be given opportunities. Fascinated to see what he does with them, because I do think he's got every bit of talent and every bit of upside that you'd love to see at that position. And then, you know, sticking with the cornerback position, Kalen King, he could be an absolute steal if they can find a way to unlock the things he was doing 2 years ago, as opposed to his final year in college. So, yeah, I think the corner spot's going to be interesting. It's hard to get too much of a gauge because they don't do a ton of one-on-one stuff anymore the way, you know, McCarthy's staff did in training camp. But there will be plenty of, you know, competitive periods where you'll be able to kind of take a look at those guys. The red line says, top 10 defense this season. Just wait. You know my mantra, man. I got to see it. I mean, just a couple years ago, weren't we saying, oh, it's a top five defense? And then that was a disaster. So, Nick, thanks for carrying the G with us, baby. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the support, becoming a Carry the G Club member. There we go. Ryan, thank you so much. Notre Dame versus Wisconsin at Lambeau in 26. Yes, I think that was rescheduled from during the pandemic, if I remember right. I know somebody else was asking about Northwestern, but I know Notre Dame versus Wisconsin, I believe, was scheduled to be taking place when the pandemic hit and they had to reschedule it. if I remember right. I might be mixing those up. Brandy, top 18 defense, book it. I love it. Hey, they could potentially be a top 18 defense here. Which position group are you most excited to watch when the pads come on? Oh, it's always the lines, you know, because, you know, you hear about guys getting open in the offseason, right? And at least they're competing, right? You've got routes being run, guys trying to cover receivers and tight ends in the flow of the plays, etc. But, man, those guys up front, they don't get to do a whole lot. You know, there's no physicality. And that is their gig. I mean, that's their whole life, is being physical and exerting their will, right? So that, to me, is all about those pads coming on and whatever you can do to watch the defensive linemen and the offensive linemen get after it, and not just doing drill work, but certainly during, you know, the competitive periods. There's so many times where I have to ask, you know, I'm usually watching with someone like Wes or Pete Doherty or Drew Olson, but I'm almost always asking, like, who caught that? Because I'm always watching the lines. I'm very rarely following the football. You know, I really want to watch the guys, especially when the pads come on and you're allowed to be physical and do your job, right? Something they haven't been able to do since they walked off the field in San Francisco back in January. So for me, that's priority number one, because you guys know, I've talked about it forever. Your line is your life. Your lines are your life. That's where you win the game. You win in the trenches. You win up front. And if that ain't right, nothing's going to be right. You can have every amazing skill position player in the world, and if you're losing up front, you're going to lose. So to me, that's the whole reason. You guys know, it's why I get in town when the pads come on, because it's all nice and fine and good. You know, a few acclimation days, etc. I want to see some of that, but I want to see the pads come on and guys get after it, playing football, as they like to say. What else we got here, folks? We got some Star Wars discourse up in here. Oh boy. Warrior Benger. That is an amazing chat. I was on my way to lacrosse the other day and the Bears still suck. Good day, Nax. You guys kill me. Ooh, Guitar Ted, I agree. I would love to see how this new kickoff play will work out. I'm fascinated too, because I can't kind of conceptualize it outside of what we've seen from the XFL, but they've changed just enough from what the XFL was doing that, yeah, I can't really wrap my head around how much we're going to see. Like, our team's just going to kick it in the end zone and let people take it to the 35? Like, that's a possibility, right? I don't think they will, but I think we'll see some of that. And I do think we'll see some returns, and it'll look like a scrum, and maybe someone breaks one here or there, but like, what, just, I don't know, operationally, what's it going to look like? I'm with you, man. I'm kind of interested to see what it looks like, and we'll get probably our first glimpse during camp when pads do come on. They got to work on special team stuff, including the new kickoffs. It's going to be interesting. And then that first preseason game, that's when it's really going to get fun, because who knows? Andrew's Paradise, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. I remember my big brother giving me the second controller to, quote, play Tecmo Bowl with him, even though he was playing the computer. The Bears in the offseason are basically five-year-old me. That is so good. That is so good. I actually did that with my girls when they were growing up, and they wanted to, quote, play with dad. I remember Olive being very excited that Donald Driver scored a touchdown for her when it was the computer. So yeah, that's a pretty good analogy, Andrew. That's a pretty good answer to it. Oh, Bruce putting a finite point on it here. Will Packers have a top 7 defense? No. Top 10, but not top 7. Nick asks, do you have a practice space for motel men? We do, actually. What's crazy, and this is true, Ben and I rehearse in the same place that we had a studio in. Same building, same room that our studio was back when I was living in Appleton after I had left DePaul, and we were in a band called Someone's Story. And we had a huge, like, walls full of synthesizers, big mixing desk, and we still have all that ability, but it's all on a laptop now. But we're still in the same exact space. It's crazy. So we can be as loud as we want, middle of the night. It's an industrial building and we're in the basement, so no one ever hears it. It's great. But yeah, it's crazy how technology has just completely changed, because when we started, we bought synthesizers, we had effects units, mixers, all this stuff. Now we do all of that on a laptop. Good times. Good Life Designs, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Just received my first ever Lambeau tickets, home opener against the Colts, and I'm beyond excited for it. I've been to Lambeau twice, but never been for a game. Oh, dude, that is awesome. Have the greatest time. Get there early, especially since I believe it's an early kickoff. But, or no, wait, is that a late one? I can't remember. But get there early regardless. Soak up the atmosphere. Get yourself to lot one. Have a shot or two. Just enjoy it. That's oh my gosh. I can't believe you've never been to a game. You got your tickets. You're going. That's awesome, man. Steven, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, got my tickets for the Houston game in October. Can't wait. Do you think there's anything new that Josh Jacobs will bring to the offense? Yeah, the ability to stay in the huddle and on the field and not disappear kind of intermittently, and we don't really know why. Oh, wait, there he's being looked at by the trainers. Oh, wait, now he's back. Oh, now he's gone again. I think his ability to be available will be noticeable. I also think fans might get surprised or be surprised by how effective he is and how much he's utilized in the passing game. I don't think for a moment that what you've seen so far from him in his NFL career is really going to come up to the level of how Matt LaFleur is going to utilize him, both out of the backfield in some traditional senses, right? Like screen game, check down, what have you, but also like downfield, angle routes, choice routes, you know, spreading him out, utilizing from the slot, things like that, where I don't think he's been used a ton like that. It's not to say he hasn't been, I think, you know, occasionally, but I think you'll see a lot more of that than maybe people are expecting. And plus he's just a freaking tank and he will run through people, man. It's so good. He's so good. I cannot even begin to tell you. Oh my God, Soder. What is this? Sophie's Choice. Marv Fleming or Rich McGeorge, best 81. How are you going to do God's Son like that? I kid. Shout out Andrew Corliss. I got to go with Marv Fleming just because I interviewed him for on the anniversary of the Ice Bowl, and he was incredibly kind and just the nicest human on earth. So I'll go with Fleming. Kevin said, I got my bachelor's party there. First time for everyone coming to the old family and friends from Georgia. Wow, wait, Virginia, Georgia, Colorado versus the Vikings. What time to get down to tailgate for noon kickoff? Best place to tailgate? Well, Kevin, the best place to tailgate is lot one. Not even a question. Find the party. You can't miss it. It's a ton of fun. There's a ton of music, people drinking, having a great time. And they're all very, very welcoming, especially when they find out that, you know, you've got people from all over the country coming in. As far as when to get there for noon kickoff, I'd get there at 8, maybe even 7. Have a day, man. But I'm a professional, so, you know, your standards may vary. I'm kidding. But, yeah, definitely get there a few hours early, man. Soak it all in, you know, because that's the other thing. People kind of say, oh, I want to get, like, 2 hours early or whatever, but you probably want to get in and get in your seat and soak up the Lambeau mystique and ambiance before kickoff, right? Like, I get people who stay to the last second and then go in and maybe skirt with missing opening kickoff. But, man, I want to be in my seat and I want to be there present for the entirety of the game, you know? That's just me. You may be different. But, yeah, get to lot one like 3 hours before kickoff. I think they open the gates at 4 hours before kickoff. So around that time, and you're going to have a ball, man. And hey, bachelor party. Congrats, man. Have the best time. That'll be a great time. All right, everybody. I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, I will see you at the happy hour at the top of the hour. The rest of you, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for the support. Talk to you soon. Go Pack Go.